Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome to the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Now when you download DraftKings Sportsbook, you can use promo code DNVR to make your first deposit and get this, a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's only with promo code DNVR and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. I am Patrick Lyons.
And I am Susie Hunter. Patrick, first of all, happy belated birthday. How is your big B-Day weekend?
It was fantastic because I...
Are you mad that I called out your birthday?
No, I'm just mad that I have to share the weekend with a four-game losing streak for the Colorado Rockies, who have not won a game in Wisconsin in a very long time, it seems to be. So I had to try to put that out of my mind as I focused on myself. Did have a good time. Movie reviews for the film Nope coming on the members-only Discord. Very enjoyable. Haven't seen a horror film in a while. Made me feel some things. It was good. Much like the Rockies right now. We'll talk about the series against the Brewers, the weird, wild, and wonderful that all went down in Milwaukee. We'll try to figure out, and I don't know if there's enough time or even if there's enough mental capacity to figure out what the hell is going on with St. Louis Cardinals, and we'll play some games, of course.
Yeah. Patrick, I'm surprised you wanted to watch a horror movie when I feel like we were living one every night as we watch the Rockies play some frustrating baseball in Milwaukee.
It was. We'll do our best to try to recap all of the ups and downs and the downs and the downs that followed those other downs. Now, there's one more game left. That might even be the strangest thing. You say, all right, day game in Milwaukee. Thank God it is over with. But it's not. They've got to play another game on Monday in the evening. It's not even a true getaway day. Kyle Freeland against Aaron Ashby. And then the Rockies can finally leave the state of Wisconsin until sometime next year.
Goodbye. Why is the schedule so weird here? What is happening? How did this happen?
Don't know. This was the original part of the schedule too. That's the other piece, is that this had nothing to do with the lockout. So just kind of one of those strange wrinkles. They've got the game again, yes, on Monday. And then Tuesday, they start a two-game set with the Chicago White Sox. And then four games against the Los Angeles Dodgers. It's very strange. It's a strange one that we've got to try to figure out. Today's game was strange because the Rockies, I'm not even sure how many times they held the lead. I'm going to say three different times. Maybe it was only two.
Something like that. Two to three times. Yeah.
It was back and forth so many times. Let's see if we can recap everything. First off, Jed Cool was anything but. Austin Gomber, much better coming out of the bullpen.
Very interesting choice, Austin Gomber coming out of the bullpen. But now that we've kind of got six guys floating around, I guess it's not as weird.
Yeah, we may have to talk about starting pitchers so far in this series and who's done what. Does somebody come out of the rotation to make room for Gomber now that he's pitched relatively well? Rockies were down 3-0 early on. Luis Urias did it again. He had a two-run double. Rockies chipped away at the lead before two more runs by the Brewers made it 5-2 after three frames. And Hunter Renfroe, are you tired of hearing that name yet, Susie?
I'm so tired of hearing. I want to file a restraining order against Hunter Renfroe. Least favorite runs, Hunter right now.
He's one of the top two professional athletes named Hunter Renfroe. There's a football player with the exact same name of all the names. Yes, there's another Hunter Renfroe.
I thought you were going to say one of the top two athletes named Hunter, and then I would have. So thank you, Patrick, for acknowledging my accomplishments in the curling world.
That's it. Yeah, he's homered in all three games. He's a former Padre, so he's kind of used to messing with the Rockies in that capacity. He did get a two-run run from Chris Bryant in the fifth. Elias Diaz, RBI single in the sixth, plus a second run off of Kojo's bat on a fielder's choice. Made it 6-5, so there the Rockies go up they take a lead, but they do miss an opportunity there with Blackman and Bryant striking out with two runners in scoring position there. Tyrone Taylor solo shot made it 6-6. And at that point, it was already a pretty long game. I feel like we might have been close to the 3-hour point at that mark. Mm-hmm. It's 6-6. It's already been a really long weekend. Friday night's game, we'll get into that one. That was wild. Saturday was relatively painless because it was just not it wasn't going to happen for them on Saturday. Whereas Sunday, maybe it was going to happen, and Friday, maybe it was going to happen. It was a bit treacherous. Elias Diaz came through with a 2-RBI single in the seventh, but it didn't matter. Alex Colome gave up 3 runs in the bottom of the eighth. Milwaukee goes up 10-8. That was the final score. Rockies sink to 10 games under 500. They're 43-53. 7.5 games back when we're recording this of the final wild card. And in fact, if Arizona holds on to their lead against the last place Washington Nationals, the Rockies will be back into fifth place in the NL West. But fear not, because the Rockies might not be selling and they also might not be buying. So fear not. Look, you can say a lot of words, but really you got to think about what they mean, right? It's like, what does it actually mean? That's kind of our goal here. The Silver Linings Podcast, making it all make sense when it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense, Patrick. The words mean nothing. The points don't count. But yeah, the Rockies once again, 10 games under 500. We had like a nice like week or so where we were less than 10 games below 500. So we were feeling a little bit of hope. Now, not so much.
Yeah, they had the 4-game win streak there. Almost almost was able to polish off the Pirates. That'd have been a nice sweep to end the homestand. They didn't get it. Okay, not the worst thing in the world, but they still yet to win a game since last Saturday. So we now have gone a week. Of course, there weren't games for 4 days. So we're not trying to throw any shade there at all.
Yeah.
But if anyone's going to throw shade on the Rockies, it's going to be you, Susie, and it's going to be about that Friday night game. Look, you put it out there that this podcast is going to be maybe about 15 minutes of just us screaming. So now's the time for you. I'll give you a couple minutes there. We don't need a clock, vent, whatever you need. Friday night. What, that was wild, right? That was a long ass game.
It was such a long game. Also, I know James Partney in the chat has been concerned about how loud I am, so I don't know if he's ready for me to start screaming. So turn your volume down, James. Thank you for listening. But yeah, that was a almost 5-hour game. We were like touching or getting super close to 5 hours. And 13 innings. That's too many. I think at one point I declared that baseball should just be illegal at this point. I was so frustrated.
4 hours, 44 minutes. Not only was it the longest game this year for the Rockies, it was the longest game by a full half hour. They've only had two other games that have even lasted 4 hours. And then, to your point, 13 innings. Their previous longest was at the beginning of June against Atlanta. That only, quote unquote, went 11 innings. And since then, Atlanta has been almost unbeatable. So they got hot at the right time. No surprise, it comes right as they play the Rockies and they leave Coors Field there. Luis Urias, he had the RBI single in the 13th. Now, Buddy was asked, manager Bud Black of the Colorado Rockies was asked about Daniel Bard possibly pitching a second inning because they had their guys lined up, right? You had Colome there in the eighth, you had Bard in the ninth. And you're going to start with that runner on second base. Do you leave him back out there for a second inning? We haven't seen that a ton this year. It also hasn't really necessitated that. It's a long season. Did you have any inkling as to, you know, whether or not you wanted to see Bard out there again, or were you okay with saying, hey, it's the first game back from the break. They play 18 games in the next 17 days without an off day. Look, that's, you got to hand it to Milwaukee. They got the job done there. So maybe you don't send him back out.
I was kind of hoping they would send Bard back out. So when they didn't, I was like, okay, well, like, yeah, we're still trying to hold on to this game here. So I was definitely surprised. And now, you know, especially looking at the outcome of that game, really wish they did leave him in.
Yeah, if we were talking about a tie ball game, you wouldn't necessarily put your closer back out there. It's, I guess, part of those unwritten rules, so to speak, but there are rules that pretty much most managers will abide by. But you actually did have a lead. It was a safe situation. They go with Robert Stevenson, who is one strike away, two outs, two strikes to Hunter Renfrow, who then homers, and there you go. They lose that first game there, 6-5, and rough one. CJ Cron, first game after the break, had a rough one. Platinum sombrero, 5.
What a milestone that you don't want to see him reach. Yeah,
no.
Not a good way to kick off coming back from the All-Star game.
I was a little surprised that it was only the 6th platinum sombrero we've had. McMahon did it once last year, Story in 2019, DJ LeMahieu 2015, Cargo in 2014, and then the legend, Roberto Mejia in 1994. No, not a true legend, Susie. But
yeah,
he did get hit. Here's the funny thing. Mejia got a hit in that game, and so did Cron, whereas the other guys did not get a hit. So you know what? I guess that puts him in a slightly different class, but 5 strikeouts in 1 game.
Yeah. Know what? At least he's in good company on that list, for sure.
That's right?
That's
the players.
Work hard, play hard, strike out hard. There you go.
Is that a baseballism shirt? Wait, I don't want to get sued. I don't want to get sued for stealing a trademark.
I don't think it is, but it sounds like it should be a DNVR shirt really soon. I'm going to text Eric right now.
I wouldn't mind a little baseballism DNVR crossover. That would probably mean we can get some baseballism shirts at cost, right? We get a little mm-hmm. discount. So really, in the grand scheme of things, if we can make this partnership work, that's good stuff there, Susie. I like how your mind works.
Thank you.
I like how Charlie Blackman's I love how Charlie Blackman's mind worked there in the 10th, because he had to basically barrel the catcher over, and he wasn't called out for doing so, because a couple days prior, if you remember last week against the Pirates, I think it was the Pirates, Diaz, that was the game that Buddy got thrown out. He got ejected. Actually, it was the Padres. And it was, you know, because Diaz, he evaded the tag. He wasn't really out of the line, so to speak. I mean, he was, but he was in that area behind home plate. He was called out. That was a bad call there, but he got ejected for it. And so Charlie said, okay, so if you're saying this is my running path, no matter what, then no matter what, that is where I'm going to run. So he had the RBI single to give them the 4-3 lead, and then scored that run on his own there on a very shallow sac fly. So Charlie was doing it all Friday night, but again, was a loss. That was disappointing. But did you like that aggressiveness by Charlie? He did not waver. He just plowed right through.
You know what? I do. He was determined, you know, he eyes on the prize. And also, especially seeing how it worked out when you try to go around, barrel through.
Gilbert did finally give up a run on Sunday, but on Friday, 2 scoreless frames from him, made a great play fielding a bunt. This is probably one of my favorite defensive clips, because he got the ball, again, fielding his position on a dribbler kind of up the line. Very athletic play. You usually see this from Iglesias, sometimes B-Rod, but he flipped the ball with his glove to Cron, who then caught the ball with his bare hand. So you have the throw coming in from the glove and the catch coming in from the hand. Absolutely backwards, but absolutely beautiful. That was a really good play. I bring that up too because Gilbreth, going into Sunday's game, in his last 28 appearances, I think he had 28 innings exact, a 0.64 ERA, 34 strikeouts in those 28 games. He's been quite literally one of the best left-handed relievers in all of baseball. And there are some GMs out there that no doubt are probably calling Bill Schmidt, just checking to say, what's the price on this guy? Because we would love to have him in our bullpen. I think there's a chance that's going down. I don't think the Rockies are going to trade him. Again, they've got him under club control, where it's going to be probably another 5 more years, I think, until he reaches free agency. It might not be until after the 2026-27 season. So there's no real reason to necessitate a trade here for that. But there's going to be other teams that no doubt are definitely highly interested in Lucas Gilbreth with the way he's been pitching.
Yeah, for sure. I love those numbers as of late. That's awesome. And it's so needed in this bullpen too, especially considering what we've been missing in our president, Tyler Kinley.
it's been a bummer not having him around. And we heard it, hearing it from you guys, that it's been a bummer not to be able to go down to the corner of Colfax, New York, to the DNVR bar. But never fret. We're in the process. We're getting it going. It's going to be up and running in no time. We're about to get the studio going. I think there's already been maybe a show or two possibly already from our new studios. We're really excited to unveil that. So make sure you're locked into the DNVR Sports channel over on YouTube. And look, hey, if you're not a member, you still have some time. It's only 50 cents for your first month. You'll get some great articles online at thednvr.com covering all of Denver's major and minor sports. And we don't just mean like the Colorado Eagles, the top affiliate for the Colorado Avalanche. We mean, hey, all the college teams too, right? They're kind of a type of minor league. We've got all that covered. We've got the members-only Discord where we're talking about all your favorite things besides sports as well. We're not talking politics. We're not being a-holes. It's a fantastic place to be a part of the DNVR community. Now only 50 cents for that first month. DraftKings, the action just never ends with that as well. It's ongoing all summer long. MMA, golf, baseball, you name it. Same game parlays, spreads, money lines, over, unders. Props, your betting options will feel endless because, frankly, they are. Right now, new customers, you're going to get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's right. You make your first bet up to $1,000, and if it doesn't win, you get another shot to cash in. Whether it's a favorite or a long shot, you get two bites at the apple. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code DNVR to make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-522-4700. And my DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week. I got to log into the app right now because one of my favorite things is right on the main screen when you go into DraftKings Sportsbook. It gives you a bunch of different options of things that might be in your area or special bets, like if there's games going on where there's like a big parlay that you can go into. But for me, I want to go in and see already what's going on with the odds on Monday. And again, as we said, Kyle Freeland against Aaron Ashby was really good last year as a rookie. And, well, DraftKings thinks he's going to be good again. Kyle Freeland, we've got an article coming up here very soon over on the DNVR.com where you're ready to go all in on an annual membership, you get a free shirt from DNVR Locker. You're going to read a little bit about Kyle Freeland talking about what went wrong in his last start against the Padres, what he's not going to be doing. Remember that little hesitation he had, that little flamingo leg? Bud Black talked about that recently, whether or not we might see that again, and what Kyle Freeland needs to do to get his second half back on track. This is very much a must-win game. You know that's how Kyle Freeland's going to see that. So I'm actually going to go ahead and take that money line of plus 1.5 runs. The Rockies will win on Monday evening, minus 125. So yeah, you know what? DraftKings says the Rockies, they've got to win this game. And so I think they're going to buy a run and a half, minus 125. Go with Kyle Freeland. He's the way to go.
I have faith in him. Let's do this, Kyle.
He is it all. Just walk Hunter Renfroe, all four plate appearances, whatever you got to do. That's fine. Saturday's loss was 9-4. They kind of weren't in it too much. Urena looked okay, and they gave up three runs in the fourth. CJ Krohn homered, 22nd of the year. So immediately after the 5Ks, boom, turns around, hits that big home run. And someone else hit a home run. Maybe it was more important. It wasn't his 22nd. But that's what made it more important for Yonathan Daza, right?
Yeah. Yes, first homer of the season, and it was a two-run homer, too. So that was exciting. I'm happy for Daza.
And that was in a spot where, again, they're down 9-2 at that point, I think.
Yeah.
And you go, they're not going to win. It's two outs. But you don't want to give up an at-bat. So for a young guy like that to homer in that spot, hey, that's fantastic. Hats off to Yonathan Daza. And do we give a hats off to the Milwaukee Brewers? Because we got to see, at least against the Rockies, their City Connect uniforms.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on those Brew Crew unis?
You know what? Okay. I like them. Here's why. Okay, so I know I've seen a lot of tweets when they were first released, people saying they looked like a minor league jersey. And I'm like, you know, they kind of do. I see that. But I also think they look great. I love the colors. I love the font. I love the Brew Crew. I have no complaints, no notes.
Yeah, they look a little bit better on camera. The trend, and I've said this a billion times already.
You have, yeah.
Usually when you see it in photographs, it's like, I don't know if I like it. And then you see it on the field and you say, okay, it tracks. But it's just there have been a lot of teams with that light blue color. So already that kind of loses some points. So I think it's going to be middling.
It's a different light blue than like other people's powder blues, though. It's more, sure. It's a little brighter. I like it.
Yeah, I think it'll be kind of in the middle where you're like, I don't hate it. Don't love it a ton. Maybe more yellow. I mean, that wouldn't be too bad. Maybe embrace that. We'll see what happens. you don't like the minion look?
No, I
like
don't.
Like our friend Pod Radom calling the Boston City Connect uniforms, they look like minions.
That is
one
just,
of my favorite takes.
I've said it, but it was great. It was great. I've said it before, though, and I'll say it again. Like, that is just not a flattering color for most people. So I just feel bad for all the pasty people of Milwaukee and of Wisconsin trying to pull off that jersey and looking bad. We don't need more yellow.
Yeah, that's a fair point. You know? We kind of teased this idea of, you know, does Gomber come back into the rotation? What were your thoughts on the starting pitching going, you know, for this weekend so far with Milwaukee? We saw Chad Kuhl on Sunday go 2 1/3 innings pitched, only gave up, or rather, not only, but gave up 5 home runs. Excuse me. See, I'm a little bit worked up on Chad Kuhl here because
you're flustered.
He's the guy that helped start the whole Colorado Crockies craze.
Yeah,
that's a tongue twister, Colorado Crockies craze. And since that game on June 27th, his complete game shutout, three hit complete game shutout against the Dodgers, he's got a 9 ERA. And that's not the Jed Kuhl that obviously the Rockies had signed up for, and not the guy that we had seen against LA at Coors Field. And he's really seems to have lost his way a little bit. We saw that on Sunday. Saturday, Jose Urania, not great. Antonio Sensatella, you know, a little bit shy of the quality start with 5 innings pitch and 3 runs given up, but he did just come off the IL. So I sort of think that's obviously the more promising of the starts, I would say, this weekend so far in Milwaukee.
Yeah, probably, for sure. Yeah, I think you're right. But yeah, it was super frustrating seeing how not solid starting pitching was this series, especially coming off of, you know, a time when everyone had some rest to recollect, really, you know, set their intentions for the second half. But I was very surprised by Chad Kuhl. And I mean, am I seeing this right? Did we actually get more innings out of Austin Gomber today than Chad Kuhl?
You would be correct. Yeah. Yeah. Gomber looked really good. 3 2/3 innings pitched, only gave up 1 run, walked 1, 2 hits, 3 strikeouts. So, you know, overall a good stat line for him. Again, they're going to need him because on August 2nd, which is the trade deadline, it is when I will be out in San Diego covering that series, covering the trade deadline. We're super excited for that. They're going to need 2 starters right there. So I think that's when not only will we see the return of Austin Gomber to the rotation, if not sooner, but we'll definitely see it by then. And because they'll get a 27th man, we'll very likely see the return of Ty Block, who's down in Albuquerque. He got option right there at the end of that final game against Pittsburgh. So he's still going to be really their long guy. And, you know, with 6 starters right now, Gomber becomes the long guy overall. But yeah, it was good to see Gomber kind of at least have that in his back pocket. Good performance and better performance than the starting pitcher. So Sensatella would be the guy that I think you're happiest with the most, even if all his runs did come up off of home runs from Willie Adames and Andrew McCutchen. But things were just wild overall. Were you following? I feel like we deserve to give shout outs to a lot more people than we actually do. And for anyone that, if we make a reference to something and you are the one that got that generated, whether it was on Twitter or whatever, you know that. And I feel like we should be referencing some of these folks a little bit more. And a lot of times we do. We give credit where credit is due. But this time, Rockspile was all over it. Noah Yingling was there. He was in the Midwest.
That was a lot of buildup, Patrick.
Noah's one of my dudes, man. I love the guys over at Rockspile.
Noah's, we love our Rockspile dudes, for sure.
I even said to him, I was like, okay,
it
enough.
It took you like 15 minutes to intro them.
Enough content on, you know, obscure throwback Brewers jerseys. I just want to see what they said on the scoreboard, because this was, I thought, good content. They had a lot of fun with Rockies players. Some of the things they said was silly but true, and other things they just straight up made up.
Yeah, some of these I was wondering how they could know this or confirm this. Like, what did they say about McMahon? He collects porcelain dolls. They said CJ Crone prefers drumsticks over flats. I just don't believe that. And I would like confirmation one way or the other. So yeah, sometimes they're just making stuff up, but some of them were very funny. They had one for Charlie Blackman that said, three career homers without a beard, 203 with a beard. And then he immediately homered after that, making it 204. Thank you for the good vibes, Brewers scoreboard guy. So yeah, I wonder now, since like these scoreboard guys or scoreboard ladies, I know ours is a guy at Coors Field. I mean, do they have a convention where they get together and like swap ideas and best practices? And because they're kind of having a moment right now.
Padres do that too a little bit at Petco Park, where they get a little bit wild with some stuff, and you're like, is that true? Like, first person to hug Miguel Cabrera after his 3,000th hit. Why would it be Jose Iglesias? He plays on the Rockies, and like, no, that's actually
true.
and then a silly one that's true and doesn't require you to pay attention to the DNVR Rockies podcast or at Rockies or anything. It's just Connor Joe has two first names, and you didn't even try on that one. You phoned that one in, but you know what? We're going to give you a pass, folks, over at American Family Field. Does that trigger you at all, Susie? Are you okay with saying American Family Field, or will it always be Miller Park to you?
It'll always be Miller Park. I do not care about the American Family Company. Was that an insurance company?
I think so.
Yeah. I don't care about them. Miller Park all the way.
Now, would you care about them if they made you a graphic? Because I'm kind of curious, what would the graphic on the scoreboard say if any of us were here? I'll even throw Kale into this, because so for me, I think what my graphic would say, and again, is this silly, or it's silly and true, or is it made up? Once drove 8 hours and took a 2-hour boat ride to see a bird. Silly but true. That is true. Did go to Maine and you get on a boat to go see a puffin.
A
bird. A puffin.
A puffin?
A puffin. Yeah, puffins rule.
A puffin.
Yeah.
A puffin, Kale. Hello, Kale. Welcome to the show. Our super producer.
Badass penguins. Kale, I know what yours would be. Let's see if we match. I hope we might match. What would it say up on the scoreboard for Kale Sorbo?
It would say Kale Sorbo, big tincture guy.
Yes, there we go.
Big tincture guy. No
huge
doubt.
Huge tincture guy.
Huge
yes!
tincture guy. Yes. Yeah, that would be the quote tweet. We see Kale Sorbo, and then from the DNVR Rockies account, we quote tweet and say, more like huge. Like, you know, we got to inject ourselves and be like, no, he's even bigger than big. He's a huge tincture guy. That's accurate. I think it would say that. Silly, but true. Yes, that's it.
I love it. Light Let's shape.
There you go.
Graphics.
Susie, what would yours say? I would love to know.
I know you probably have an idea. I feel like right now mine should be, has not checked her fantasy baseball lineup once this season, but is still winning.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Are you playing Tommy Pham this week? Is maybe that's why he's not very active. He's paying even less attention than you are, maybe.
Maybe.
Are you in that fantasy league with Pham and Peterson? Susie, whoa, we're breaking a story right now. Hold on. Wait. Are you in that league? Or
no,
are you
no.
able to say?
No, I can't say. I can't confirm or deny, but am I on that level? Absolutely.
That's
to be clear, okay. If I don't, did I say fantasy football or did I say fantasy baseball? Because I'm winning my fantasy baseball right now.
I'm winning my fantasy MLS league, and I'm spending a lot of time figuring out, should I start Sebastian Gerisi tonight, or do I want to put him on my bench? Real inside for the folks over at DNVR Rapids. They would appreciate all of those references and more. There was someone who tweeted out, if we're going to have fun here on the Twitters, Bud Black, something about being a nice guy. It was a picture of a kid, and his dad had a photograph of their kid wearing all, you know, Brewers gear, and basically said, thank you at Rockies and manager Bud Black for making this little man's day. And there he is. He's smiling. He's all day. Looks like a young John Boy, pretty
oh
much.
Oh, my gosh.
Freckled face.
Might be. I'm getting that energy. I'm getting that enthusiasm. All right, Pat. Patrick.
Loves the baseball. But the real question is, and because I don't remember exactly when that tweet went out, like, was that a post game? So why is he thanking Bud Black for throwing out Colomé in the eighth inning and giving up the lead? And so, hey, look at that. My first comeback victory at a ballpark. And so he's excited because the Brewers won 10-8 after trailing here late. That's one reason you want to thank the manager.
So it went out pretty early in the game, but like when the Brewers were winning originally. I was wondering, I'm like, okay, is he thanking him because he got a ball? Is he thanking him because he's getting a win for his beloved Brewers? So it's funny. It's some funny stuff right there. I'm going to assume it's for the ball.
He could even be thanking Bud Black and inadvertently me about an article that I wrote on the DNVR.com a few years ago where Buddy talks about the pine tar incident. It's the anniversary, 1983.
Yes.
Bud Black started that game. You know the clip of George Brett running out like a maniac, looking like he wants to grapple and wrestle with the umpires? Bud Black started that game. He was there for that. He was there for the continuation where they had to fly back for like four outs in New York, and some of the players, they didn't even get to the stadium. They hung out maybe at a bar somewhere in the hotel. You might have to read that article. So I'm thinking the father might have read that. Or did Bud Black know a little thing or two about the sausage race and said, hey, Chorizo's going to win before the bottom of the sixth inning. Mm-hmm. And that's who's going to win. Who won the sausage race when you were there?
I think that's insider trading.
Could be.
I am actually not totally sure I saw a sausage race when I was at Miller Park. I'm not totally sure I did. Well, also, I mean, it was, you know, I went last year, still the pandemic. A lot of things, a lot of experiences did not happen across different ballparks. So I'm actually not totally sure I saw a sausage race at the two games I went to. I will say, out of all the parks that I went to, the Brewers had the best giveaways the weekend I was there. I got a Corbin Burns card. I got a Yelich bobblehead. Well, those are in the office closet in here. I should have taken them out. But yeah, I got some good giveaways while I was in Milwaukee.
And I'm pretty sure that in the team store, they were actually selling the sausages for people to wear because it serves as a mask also, too. So. During the pandemic, it's very heavy and very hot in the summer, but you will definitely protect yourself and everyone that's around you. So that should have been something they gave away at least instead of charging people for that. But
we could have lived a sausage race. I'm going to go back and check my files to see if I did see it. I don't think I did.
Yeah.
I saw some other stuff at that game. I saw a drunk man like yelling some very unsavory things and being detained by the police. It's very upsetting.
Well, look, you don't have to go to Milwaukee to get any Rockies merchandise. You don't even have to go down to the Diamond Dry Goods store at Coors Field. You can actually just go to FOCO.com. You can click the link below in the YouTube description or just go to FOCO.com. It's that easy for all non-presale items. Use the promo code DNVR for 10% off. They've got all of the officially licensed 2022 Colorado Avalanche Stanley Cup champ merchandise. Now's the time to load up on that now before it sells out. We've got our own stuff at the dnvrlocker.com. That's been fantastic. Even long sleeve tees. Yes, long sleeves. That's perfect through fall, winter, even springtime. It's fantastic. I ordered a couple myself. I'm pumped. But over at foco.com, they have got all kinds of collectibles and apparel, shirts, hats, accessories. You name it, foco.com, and use promo code DNVR, that special 10% off. And then head on over to Colorado Golf Association. They've got all kinds of great information, special contests about stuff going on. 70,000 golfers in the Colorado Golf Association today will receive an official USGA handicap with worldwide access to score posting and GPS tracking. Membership means more than just the CGA. Members get the opportunity to play exclusive courses around the state, such as Aspen Glen Club, the club at Ravenna, the Pinery, and more. Members, you also gain access to exclusive member content with offers and discounts from national and local companies, including Imperial, Golf Tech, PGA Tour, Superstore. Learn more about Colorado Golf Association today by visiting coloradogolf.org and use promo code DNVR5 to get $5 off your next membership. Man, we had the scramble going on this past week. I think RG just posted that video on DNVR Sports at DNVR_sports on Twitter. I think it's on our channel as well. So it's golf season, so definitely tap into coloradogolf.org. We're gonna tap into some of the other craziness that has been going on. Friday night, the baseball world was just abuzz on all of the shenanigans going down at Fenway Park. 28-5. Was that are they still playing that game? Do we know? Is there a final score? Did they stop keeping track?
It did end. It did end, and not well for the Red Sox, that's for sure. I don't know if anyone's checked on Trevor Story, but that was a beating, Patrick.
That was really bad. And one of our former dudes, Ryan Altapia, was right there with an inside the park grand slam on what was ultimately an error, right? By Jarren Duran, the center fielder, because he just lost it in the lights, right?
It looks like he lost it, but then he just is watching it drop behind him. So I'm kind of wondering why there was no hustle there.
The left fielder came sliding in, but it, not enough. Tapia was going, had the hair going back, man. The Goldilocks, it was flowing.
Wow.
He had a triple on Sunday too, man.
Mm-hmm.
He did it.
Yeah,
now.
he's having a week with the Blue Jays. That's for sure.
So this reminded me of one of the craziest plays in Rockies history, and I'm curious. I'll paint the picture for you, Susie, and I want to know what you think was worse: that inside the park home run, which we know is just again, just the play. Don't think about the fact that it was 28-5. Although maybe you give a little sprinkling of that seasoning, right? Because you know that sets the table for all the craziness that happens after. But coincidentally, this was a game at home against the Brewers, right? June 21st, 2014, Christian Friedrichs on the mound, bases loaded. He uncorks a wild pitch. Now, one run scores on the wild pitch, and as the catcher, Michael McHenry, throws home, the ball sails over Friedrichs' head near the opposing dugout. So the second run, the guy on second base, ends up scoring two runs score. Now, the runner on first base was Gene Segura. He's on third base now, right? Everyone moved up two bases. Friedrichs got the ball in his hand. He's kind of looking rather dejected and is like, wow, I can't believe I just threw a wild pitch and two runs scored. And he's pretty much, and you can imagine this, he's right by the Brewers dugout. He's right by the visiting dugout. And Gene Segura has like taken one step off of third base and realizes, I can beat this guy home. Like, I am faster on my feet than he is. He takes off. Friedrichs takes off, scores, bases clearing. Wild pitch. Which is worse, Susie? Inside the park home run, inside the park grand slam, or a bases clearing wild pitch?
That is pretty, pretty brutal and pretty embarrassing. I mean, maybe it's recency bias. I feel like the inside the park grand slam is so much worse. And also, it was so much more destructive. It did so much more damage. So, I mean, I'm going to go with that, but taking into account the recency bias and having watched the video of that a million times.
I feel like we kind of need to like clean our palates of Milwaukee and sharing that story. I mean, it was almost a decade ago, but it was the Brewers. Did you have something nice that happened in Milwaukee or something interesting that can maybe help us forget some things about what has transpired this weekend and in the history?
I don't know.
Based on a message that you put in our private chat, I've got something to add about my trip to Milwaukee.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Oh, wow. That was like a whole, so actually funny enough, when I was in Milwaukee, I forgot that I had more to say about American Family Field. When I was there, actually, it was when the Brewers were playing the Giants. And it was one of Chris Bryant's like first games with the Giants. So I saw him there. And I don't think he got booed. Like I got some good picks. I don't think he got booed when I was there though.
Yeah, former Cub guy, that would make sense, right? Heck, hey, you're in a new uniform, but we know you're from down south there. You're from Cubbies. Do we know? Maybe we should save our next question. We teased it that we're going to try to figure out what the hell's going on with the Cardinals. Definitely not enough time to talk about that. But if you didn't hear, I at least want to keep you informed.
Yeah.
Cardinals supposed to go to Toronto for a 2-game set. Paul Goldschmidt, Austin Romine, and a certain former third baseman, Nolan Arenado, will be missing because they do not have the proper vaccinations to get into Canada. So maybe we'll touch on that with our guest on Monday at 11 a.m. We've got other things to talk about with Danny Wexelman.
I'm so excited to talk to Danny Wexelman. I know we listen to her on the radio so much, but this girl has so many different jobs. She's on SNY. She works with Perfect Game. So she is just, she's wearing all kinds of hats. She's great at what she does. We're going to have such a great conversation with her.
We got great takes. So I know she'll have some good perspective on the whole vaccination. And, you know, hey, are you a team player? Are you not a team player? What does this mean? Also, what does it mean for the trade deadline? That's another element, too, that you got to think about is how are general managers evaluating this of, all right, this vaccinated guy who can go to Toronto is worth this. But you know what? He can go to Toronto, so maybe I need to trade a little bit more, a slightly better prospect, because this unvaccinated guy, look, we got to go to Toronto, and so we're not going to have him. And so now you got to negotiate. You got to haggle with the other GM to let him know, look, we're not getting your guy for the remaining 67, 68 games, whatever it may be, because you're going to miss out on that series, and that series is a big deal. Or if you play in the AL East, all of those teams who might give up top prospects are saying, we've got a lot more games in Toronto to play, or we're going to be playing them in the postseason at some point down the line. So I think that could be one of the reasons why we're not seeing a ton of action on the trade front, other than the Mets going and just getting a bunch of cast-offs from the Pittsburgh Pirates. That could be one of the reasons. But if you're listening to this early on Monday morning, Danny Wexelman, 11 a.m., super psyched for that. And maybe we'll peep some tweets with her, but I hope we can peep some tweets right now.
You want to peep some tweets? Are we able to do that? We're going to peep some tweets. Let's get on it. All right. Kale, are you ready? All right. So I like this one a lot. So someone tweeted this picture of Brian Service, the manager of the Mariners, when dad is proud. His daughter quote tweeted and goes, "So this is what it looks like." Obviously all in good fun. I believe I'm under the impression they're on good terms with each other, but that got a lot of attention. I thought it was very funny.
I am so glad you explained this tweet, not only just for our listeners of the podcast, but I skimmed it. I totally skimmed it. I'm like, all right, Scott Service looks proud. And I didn't actually see that it was from his daughter saying.
Yeah.
So your explanation.
There we go.
I need to be listening. Maybe I'm more of an audio listener than a visual listener.
Maybe.
I'm learning here. But yeah, wow, that's a good sense of humor. That's a good sense of humor.
For sure, for sure. All right, let's see what's next. Okay, so this one was a tweet that came out during the Home Run Derby. Can you imagine how ridiculous Albert Pujols' numbers would look had he not missed those 3 years to World War II? Obviously poking fun that he is by far the oldest dude at that Home Run Derby. Definitely one of the oldest guys still playing. But I thought it was interesting. I will throw this in there. First guy in his 40s to be in the Home Run Derby. But yeah, people were making fun of his age. But I like to think it's all in good fun and still comes from a place of respect.
I guess. The tweet is better. Trying not to be like historically accurate, you can go, well, he could have just said like a year for the Korean War. That was more recent. But it's like, no, you're going all in. You missed
Patrick,
3 years.
I love it. You overthink everything.
You have to for references, for comedic references. What I'm saying is that Deshaies pick, because this is a count that I've seen a few times with comedic takes. Had the right reference. That was the perfect one. Rather than one that could be better in one way, is definitely not better in another. So yeah, man, Pujols is he's an old dude.
Crying all the way to the bank. He's fine. I'm not worried about him.
He'll be in Toronto.
He will be. Let's see another tweet.
He was one of those people who got the shot, I think, right? He was the first one who became eligible.
Yeah. Oh my God. All right. So here we have a picture of Lourdes Gurriel Jr. during that Friday game, Blue Jays, Boston Red Sox, while their team is way, way up, he set up a whole fruit cocktail juice bar and was just living life during that game. So this got a lot of attention on social media. It's got all the different juices, all the different fruits in there. Vlad Jr. got in there. They were doing this actually the whole series. He had it set up on Saturday. He had to move it into the shade for Sunday, so it was on the bench instead of right there on the field, basically. So yeah, they had a good trip. They had a nice, relaxing tropical vacation to Boston.
That's a great gig as the bat tender, not bartender. Yeah. He's the bat tender, making sure. Hey, you know what? You fouled a couple balls back. You're a little bit late. You need a little something with Red Bull in it to spice you up. I mean, again, you got to diagnose problems, right? You're like you're the life of the party. You're the psychologist, mm-hmm. therapist, all that stuff. So, all right, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. with the pineapple haircut. Is his nickname also La Piña? Do we know? Yuli Gurriel, his older brother, kind of has the exact same do. Pretty sure that's his nickname is La Piña because just looks like a human. Pineapples.
How do they do it? What is it? Is it great just hair. Is it genetic? Is it or do they have a styling product that I don't know about? Like it's just
true. Yeah, I think it may have something to do with sticking a fork into an electrical socket or a toaster. Disclaimer: do not do this. If we have any children listening to our podcast, we're very big in the 6 to 10 range.
For legal purposes, yeah. This is all a joke. Everything's a joke. None of this podcast is real.
Yeah, it's good. Another, he's got good hair.
Do we have another tweet loaded? Okay, so whoever tweeted this for the Rockies account, the DNVR Rockies account, Connor Sadzik, Connor Happyzik.
It's a good little filter, like that. Whatever that is. I'm not familiar too much with Connor Sadzik. There's, believe it or not, each and every year there are tens of 20 of players who make their debuts that I mean, even in my wheelhouse when I was a kid, I can go back where people will make references and I'm kind of like, I don't know this guy. He played like 8 games for the Expos in 1999. I don't know. I hope that's not the case for Connor Sadzik. I just called him Happyzik, but I remember the graphic that was tweeted out. But like, yeah, I mean, maybe he'll have himself a nice little career. He's big leaguer, so that's really all that matters. But his 9 ERA this year probably would qualify him more of a Sadzik guy. So I guess the name is fitting.
You know, probably a little happier this weekend. So that's why we've got 2 different options, 2 different picks.
That's it.
And look, then, of course,
you've got some potential here in this industry. I mean, if they need a new scoreboard person over at American Family Field, I mean, look, you've been a part of these graphics here, so get your application on LinkedIn locked and loaded, just in case.
Someone endorse me on LinkedIn right now for making funny graphics. Thank you.
There you go. You didn't even have to use Dolly. You didn't. I think you figured that one out on your own somehow.
I think we got.
Dolly is the thing where you like you type in Jack Black presidential inauguration.
Oh, and that thing! Yeah, that thing. Oh, yeah, the AI picture generator. Got it. I thought you were talking about the sheep that got cloned.
Oh,
my bad.
Dolly, there you go.
Yeah. I think we got a couple more things to show off. So first of all, we mentioned this before, but Patrick and Rockies pitcher Ashton Godot celebrated a birthday on the 23rd. That was Saturday. So happy birthday, guys. And you know what? Our bubble boys got some recognition from the Rockies.
Unprompted. Love that.
So
not bad.
Bubble boys. I'm like, that's such a better caption than we had. Darn.
The bubble boys. That's it. I know we got to get a podcast, the big leaguer and the bush leaguer. I would, of course, be the bush leaguer. Or how about this one? The double unique and the extra basic. I would be the extra basic. He give you the double unique. Big league or bush league, I think works a little bit better, right?
You know what? Hopefully in the off season we can get Ashton on the show or something and you guys can have that going on. It'll be good. But yeah, happy birthday again to you and our friend Ashton. Very funny.
And Nomar Garciaparra. Don't forget him on July 23rd.
Oh my gosh. My apologies.
That's it. My apologies. Pee-wee Reese. I think Pee-wee Reese might have been born on July 23rd. Not sure. And then A-Rod, I think, is July 24th today. Don't know why. Those things kind of stick in. You've got a couple Hall of Famers on your birthday, too. So we'll remember.
We'll save it. We'll save it for the off-season.
Oh, yeah. We'll make a whole show of it. That's it.
Actually, we will.
We will.
Not a joke.
Susie will be planning her own surprise birthday party. Stay tuned on the DNVR Rockies podcast. Follow us on Twitter so you can find out how you can attend this very exclusive event that will be advertised for a month long, this surprise party that she is scheduling here. You can find out all that information on Twitter at DNVR_Rockies. Follow me. I'll throw a couple of likes at it. At Patrick D. Lyons on Twitter.
So generous, Patrick. And I am at the Susie Hunter on all platforms.
Hey, the Rockies may not have momentum, but we've got the momentum. But you know what they truly say about momentum? It's only as good as your next show. So we'll talk to you tomorrow at 11 a.m. live on the DNVR Sports Channel on YouTube with Danny Wexelman.